شغلي. Okay, I think we should begin. So welcome
Okay.
everybody, welcome to my free seminar
Thank you, Peter.
Entitled Stuck in Your Head. I will say more about that and a bit more about everything in a minute, but what I'm going to do first is just have a bit of a arriving moment. So this is really done in a way in the spirit of focusing. If you don't know what focusing is yet, that's okay. Hopefully this moment will give you some flavor of what focusing, a kind of spirit of focusing. So I'm going to just mute everyone apart from me, just to save background noises, or mute yourself if you can, just for this bit. Okay. There might be some people arriving. Hopefully you shouldn't be disturbed by that. So yeah, the idea is follow my guide. It's like a guided process, just a couple of minutes, just sensing and noticing how you are. So I'll take you through that. If you know your own way of doing this arriving, do it yourself. That's fine. It's all invitational. So yeah, so take a moment, get yourself comfortable. You can have your screen on or off. You could be standing, lying down, sitting. It doesn't matter. I'm going to sit here. Let's keep it simple. But eyes open, eyes closed. All of that is fine. And it isn't about trying to change yourself or be calm, or those things might happen. But it's more about noticing. Noticing what it's like to be here. So maybe just notice your body in the space it's in. Even with their eyes closed, you can probably sense that our bodies are amazing like that. They very carefully can map a space around us. You can very quickly, if it's new to us, we'll know where the window is, where the door, where the chair, you know, all that. So just sense yourself and your environment. Maybe that environment is very new to you, maybe it's very known to you, and it has a feel to it. Comfort. But just notice it however it is for you. And then begin to notice your contact with that space. It could be your sense of weight or pressure where you're touching the seat or the floor, whatever's behind you, beneath you, and letting your body be held. So there's a surface level of your experience, maybe thoughts and your awareness of this place you're in, but maybe underneath, there's maybe just noticing for a moment how it is inside your body, like even just like the mood, your weather, your internal weather, like what's it like right now? Maybe it's kind of cloudy and dark and stormy, or it could be bright and open. There's no way it should be or has to be. It is what it is. Maybe you can't tell yet, and that's okay. And just noticing how you are right now. And when you're ready, bringing that to a close. If your eyes have been closed, looking around, taking a few conscious breaths of the way of noticing, transitioning from the inner experience to the outer world. So, I'll introduce myself. So my name is Peter Gill. I'm a focusing teacher. You'll hear what focusing is, but I've been doing that for 15 years now. Prior to that, I taught meditation and Buddhism for probably a decade prior to that also. And teaching focusing is my living, but also my passion, really. I think it's such an essential skill to have. The skill of being able to sort of tune in and listen to what's really true at a deeper level, if you like, beneath this level of what we might call head. And that's really the theme of our seminar today, is this phrase that we you hear people say, oh, I'm so stuck in my head, you know. And many people who come to do my courses start with that kind of, I guess it might be a complaint or something. Oh, I'm so stuck in my head. And I guess focusing really offers another kind of way of knowing. So our seminar today, really, we'll look at what we mean by stuck in our head a little bit, just evoke that and just explore that, what that actually is and means to people, because I don't want to make too many assumptions. I want to hear what your experience is of that. And then we'll look at a little bit about what is it that the body knows. So we talk about the body and focusing. What do we mean by the body? Is it just the physical body? Like, what's this other kind of knowledge that we could speak of? We'll do a little experiential process, by that a kind of guided experience of something of this bodily knowledge. And then I'll talk a little bit about what focusing is, kind of its applications, its bit of its history, just to kind of give you a little bit of context. And at various points in that process, there'll be pauses where you can ask questions or make a comment and share. So sometimes people do that by speaking, sometimes people put it in a chat. All of that is fine. And we've got until the hour, so we've got about 50 minutes to explore all of that. So here's a question for you. Let's evoke this experience of being stuck in our head. Like, what is that like? What happens? Just throw out comments or words or sentences that sort of describe what that is for you. Some people might be say like, oh, well, it just means I get a lot of worried thoughts. It could be something else. It could be, can't stop going round and round an issue or something. Like, there might be many ways in which this is, but I just want to kind of get a flavor of what that feels like to you or to people you know. Maybe it doesn't happen to you. Maybe you're a therapist or something and you experience it more in other people's lives too. That's fine. So what's this like? Please put in a comment. Please speak, share, whatever feels comfortable. There's no pressure here. Just say what. Great. So we're going to read out some of the comments. So we will hear it in the recording later. So going around, same thoughts. Yes, exactly. There's something about the cyclical kind of, it never goes anywhere, right? This is very typical of this sort of kind of process. Someone else is constant going or even rushing from one thing to the next. Yeah. So no stopping, no pausing, just like one thing to the next, or one thought to the next, or one. Yeah. Definitely relate to both of those. Fragmented, yeah. That's why sometimes experience is kind of doesn't stay on one track, does it? It's like bam, thought, image, feeling, memory, fear, worry, like fragmented like that. Having a constant internal monologue. Yeah. Right. This is interesting, isn't it? Who is it that does that? I'm always curious. Who's that? Where's that monologue come from? I look at that on some of my other courses. But yeah, is that a kind monologue or is it a kind of not so kind? Is that the question I might have for that? Inability to be in the present moment. Yeah, that's right. I want to pause with that for a moment. It's like, that's one of the qualities, isn't it, of mind, of thoughts, is we can be, you know, worrying about an argument we've not had yet in the future, or remembering that really awkward moment we had earlier and feeling, oh, like it feels terrible to remember. We're going over and over it, or like it takes us out of the present moment. So that's that kind. That's and the body is always in the present moment, or at least, depending on how we experience it, but it's a route, let's call it a doorway into the present moment. What's happening now? So yeah, I just wanted to touch on that. Someone else says, yeah, swirling, feeling overwhelmed. Yeah, it can be really overwhelming. Exactly. Welcome to those who've just arrived. We're just exploring, evoking what it is to be stuck in one's head a little bit, like what that means, or what your experience of that is, because it's many multi-dimensional sort of in a. So if you open the chat, you'll see at least some of it if you've just arrived. A head that feels full and at the same time completely empty. Okay, interesting. curious about that. Empty, you mean empty of something substantial? Or... Anyway, see if there's an answer to that. Almost feels a and someone else almost feels a pressure in the forehead with whizzing thoughts, no feeling below the forehead. Yeah, that's right. Another thing people say on my courses, and just I definitely felt like I kind of lived from here upwards, you know. And down here was just a bit of a mystery. Negative thoughts, yeah. That's a kind of painful way we can get stuck in our head with sort of negative thoughts. I'm going to share a little bit of my story. So I came across focusing about 2003, 20 years ago, on a retreat. And until then, I spent many years meditating, but a lot of that was really quite heady and quite sort of stuck in kind of trying to make myself feel calmer or feel different. And that had some success. It wasn't all a failure. But when on this particular retreat, one of the teachers mentioned this thing. They said, oh, have you heard of focusing? I went, oh, no, I don't know what that is. It's always about listening to your body. And it was like this alarm, this kind of bell rung in my, wow, I've got a body and I can listen to it. Like it has information. I'm not just my thoughts. And it had a profound impact, you know, from that moment onwards. I read the book and then I went on a workshop and I knew I wanted to teach it. So, but it all started in that moment of realizing that there was another kind of way of knowing that was in my body, if you like. There was something else that wasn't just these anxious, repetitive, cycling thoughts that went round and round and round. And I really relate to a lot of what people said here. And sometimes it still happens. It's not that it never does. But I have a trust and a doorway into a deeper kind of knowing. And maybe there's also a sense in some of what you're saying that while it doesn't feel nice to be sort of stuck in that way in our heads, and also that we're missing out on something. That there's like a different way we could live, a different way we could experience ourselves that feels more embodied, that feels realer. So that's what we're here to explore, really. And that's what that moment was like on that retreat when I realized, oh, there's something else that I've not paid attention to that has some knowledge, in fact, has a profound knowledge, I came to find out. So I want to, before we continue, I want to kind of be a little bit careful around setting up a duality around body and mind, and head is bad and body is good, if you like. All those thoughts, all that's rubbish and all this is good. And it's not as simple as that, you know. In the way I really feel it these days is we're one organism, you know. There's not a dividing line in our neck. We can think in different ways, you know. We can think in clear ways, and we can rationalize and analyze, and that's a really helpful faculty of a human being, but it's not the whole of us. We have this other kind of knowing that we can access. And I guess that's what the trouble is when we're only living in this realm of thought, and that life gets a bit limited and narrow. So I don't want to set up this idea that it's kind of all of that's bad. In fact, I also want to say that something that's the safest place we live, like this is a way of living that can protect us from what can be quite difficult in the body. So I want to really invite that perspective, really. That maybe one reason why we're sort of in our minds a lot is because actually experience, you know, it's not always easy to be in the body, especially if you've got a history of trauma or where, you know, there's some difficult experiences here, then what a good reason to stay a little bit away from it. So we also want to befriend this idea that, well, being in our head could be a good place to be, if you like. But we know it's not all the whole story. That's why we're here, I hope, just to kind of get a sense of what that other story could be. So I just want to pause there and just check if that's making sense so far, and any questions or about what I've said. Please feel free to ask anything. You know, there's no wrong questions here or at any point in tonight. Just feel free to ask and wonder. Good. So I want to share an image. that. Give me a moment to open it. So this is an image, really. I think in a way speaks better than many words. So let me just share this image. Can you see the iceberg? I'm not sure if this is a real image or some kind of composite, but the symbol works. Right? So I want to share this image as a symbol, really, of what we're like as beings. You know, can you see my cursor on there? I think you probably can, can't you? On the top. So this is kind of what we're consciously aware of on the top. This sort of what's above the surface of the water, our normal thoughts, our normal sort of sense of ourselves. But as an iceberg, you know, there's this weight mass, huge kind of amount of knowledge that's sort of underneath conscious awareness. You could call it the unconscious, subconscious. I think that's probably those terms. Let's just call it bodily knowing. There's a kind of bodily knowing that exists a little bit below the level of our normal awareness. And this way of being that I'm talking about, focusing, really, you know, opens doorways. You know, it kind of makes that boundary more permeable between all that knowing we have down there and what's in our conscious awareness. Some people also speak of this in terms of right brain and left brain, and that we often live in a very left brain dominated world, which is very linear kind of thinking. Because adding to that a lot of self-criticism and other stuff, we kind of end up in a very limited way of living. But the right brain is like a more holistic, it takes in the whole of experience. And I think there's some connection here. So while we're looking at that image, I'm going to read a quote and then we'll turn the image off. So this quote is from Eugene Gendlin. Eugene Gendlin is the rediscoverer of this practice of focusing. In a way, focusing is a human skill. I would say that it's not something that's new in a way. It's just been rediscovered as a sort of practice and a way of being more recently, but I think more embodied cultures have it naturally. So here's a quote. You have a bodily orienting sense. You can learn how to let the deeper bodily felt sense come in relation to any specific situation. Your body knows the whole of each of your situations, vastly more aspects of it than you can think. Here you find an intricate bodily knowledge and new steps that want to come and will come if you can wait here. So I'll read it again. You have a bodily orienting sense, and you can learn how to let a deeper bodily felt sense come in relation to any specific situation. Your body knows the whole of each of your situations, vastly more aspects of it than you can think. Here you can find an intricate bodily knowledge and new steps that want to come and will come if you can wait here. So I love that. Your body knows the whole of each of your situations. So what does he mean? What does he mean by situations? Or situation in could be like a relationship with a friend that's gone a bit off. It could be, you know, what you want to eat. There's a situation like, what is my, you know, sometimes you ever had that experience when you override what your body tells you. You're in the supermarket and you're looking around for what to buy to eat. You have this moment of, oh, I don't really want that. And then your arm reaches for that thing anyway and puts it in the trolley. Like, oh, maybe that's not healthy for me, but there it goes, you know. So it's an example of a kind of bodily knowing and a something else that in conflict. But your body knows the whole of each of your situations. It's really interesting. It could be big situations as well, the whole of your life in a sense. Even kind of collective wisdom. That's what I believe. That's where we find it in the body. I can see a question in the chat. I will come back to that in a minute. Good question. So yeah, so and so in this in the iceberg image, there's this like this whole wealth of knowledge and experience, really, a kind of a deeper touchstone of truth that we can find through this practice. It's more reliable. This is what Gentlin said. It's more reliable than what we're thinking. It's not that what we're thinking is always wrong, or we want to make it bad, but there's this sort of more reliable touchstone within us. So I want to just look at this question someone's brought, which we should see in the chat. Does my focusing bring up past emotional difficulties? Well, I suppose I will say that focusing is a way of, it doesn't dig things up that don't need attention, but it opens a doorway to what is unresolved. What it can do, you don't actually hang them. You can go wherever you want to in focusing. There's so many different ways you could use it, and I'll say more later, but. But one way that's very typical is you might just pause and notice what wants attention. And of course, what wants attention is often what hasn't had attention, what is unresolved, what's kind of happened to you that's kind of been pushed away for some reason, yeah? So, but it's not like we have to go digging around. I guess we can trust the body's process. That's what I've learned. We can trust it. That what needs to come will begin to come into awareness. And yeah, some of those experiences are difficult, but that's worth healing. Focusing is worth healing those processes. But that's only one little piece of focusing. You know, focusing is a much, some of that knowledge in the iceberg is much broader than just our problems. It's our knowing we have all sorts of situations. Like as a parent, some of you might be parents, you know, this like, when I'm not sure what to do, that's where I tap into, you know, I kind of tap into a kind of, well, what would feel right here? What's the felt sense of it? What's the bodily sense of what needs to happen in this situation? And some kind of answer comes, not literally always, but something happens, some information that my body knows. Okay, a couple more questions. Maybe I'll save those. I want to save those questions until later, if that's okay. I've got them there. But because I want to do an experiential exploration, so rather than just talk about it, let's have a little moment of a focusing style kind of moment. So this will be a led guided exercise. And I want to say, firstly, that any guided exercise is bound to work for half people and not work for the other half. It's the nature of anything, a group exercise. Some people are in the space where it might unfold, and some people it's like it's not the right words and it's not the right time. And it's so if you're struggling with it, if you, as we go through it, you're like, I don't know what this person's saying, I can't get this, that's okay. Don't give yourself a hard time and think, oh, I'm doing this all wrong. So I'll be making suggestions, I'll be inviting us on a kind of journey. But yeah, if it isn't fitting in that moment, that's fine. Just to kind of take a moment to rest in yourself and follow your breath. And just notice what happens. That's the main thing. Just notice. This is all about noticing and curiosity. So this experiential exploration is going to invite you to explore something, an issue in your life, a situation, but in a different way than what you might normally do, which is just think it through. Often when you think of a something, or we take a topic and we just think about it, oh, this is what it's like. But yeah, let's see if we can open up to what is is there some more information in the body about this situation in your life? So I'm going to give you a choice as well here in this exploration. You can either choose something that feels good to explore or something that maybe feels a bit tricky. So you can choose. So the thing that feels good could be a place that you love being in. So I'm going to invite you to evoke and remember a place you love being in. And then we're going to sense into the body and see what it knows. See if there's something a little bit more than just thoughts and memory. If you want something a bit more challenging, or if you're ready for it, but you could choose something a bit difficult, like a tricky dynamic with somebody. Somebody you've like, not your like number one enemy, you haven't spoken to for 10 years, a family member who hates you or something, like that wouldn't be a good idea right in this short moment. But like maybe just like, oh God, that person in my office, why do we rub you up the wrong way? Or I got an email and we get niggled by it, you know, but from this person. So not a big situation, something that's just a bit troubling, a little bit tricky. And then we're going to explore exactly how does that feel in your body? What happens in your body? So those are the two choices. And we could do something else if you want, but that's what I'm going to offer you. Or if you just want, just notice how it is in your body right now. That would be fine. So I'm going to guide you through it. Please feel free to, as I say, ignore my invitations if it doesn't feel right or feel safe or okay for you. Just let my words sort of go over you or do your own thing. Just switch off the sound or something. So we'll be doing this for like 5-6 minutes. Okay. So get yourself comfortable. That's important. You might sit back and just feel your support of what you're resting into. Let it hold your body. You can have your eyes open, eyes closed. And just notice, yeah, how your body is held in that space, and maybe like your skin and your clothes, your get a sense of the sort of shape, the overall feel of your body here. The space you occupy, you could say, is your body, is your skin, your clothes, edges. And then maybe just notice the breath as it is. Don't have to change it anyway. Just let yourself notice that movement of the breath. You might even put your hand on your belly or your chest, sense where the breath is. And then with that breath, just noticing how it is inside right now, like the throat and the chest and belly. And like there's a kind of inner landscape. Maybe it's hard to sense, or maybe there's a lot happening already. However it is, just noticing it physically, or maybe a mood or emotions. So be curious. Whatever is there is welcome as it is. If your mind is full of thoughts and some turning over some situation in your life, just let that be there. Notice it. Notice that's what's happening, and that's okay. Don't have to make it different. So the point of this exploration is just to notice, not to make anything happen, just to be open, and something might happen or something might not. So when you're ready, evoking either one of those two topics I brought, it could be what feels a place that you love being in. So you might remember that place vividly as you can. Like bring it to mind, evoke it in your awareness. Oh, that's what it's like. You can imagine it in the senses, what you can see and smell and touch, or just get a sense of that whole thing. Or if it's the other topic you're choosing, something that's a bit difficult, a tricky dynamic with someone, just to get a sense of that situation, bring it to mind. Maybe the last time you felt it. Maybe it's very present with you. Just allow yourself to evoke either one, whatever one you're going for. Or just notice how your body is right now. That's okay. Maybe there are the thoughts and memories and of it, but either situation. But then notice as you evoke this place you love being in, tricky person. Be curious what happens in your sort of below the neck. Notice what happens in your thoughts too, but also be curious, what does that whole thing feel like in your body? What happens inside? As you evoke it, what do you notice? Maybe there's some kind of, maybe a strong reaction, a gut reaction, or something in your chest, or depending on what you've evoked. Maybe there's something you can't quite put into words, but there's just something there, some way that your body knows it. Even just noticing if it feels like a good feeling or a bad feeling, or not sure, just not sure yet. Maybe some movement in the body or some kind of instinctive sense somehow. Like, so just allow whatever there is there to be there. Be curious about how it is when you evoke the situation. Maybe there are words that describe it inside, or sort of emotions that come, or kind of any, maybe there's just something more than just that initial bodily sense. Or maybe it's hard to sense anything, and that's okay. Maybe it's just not so easy to access anything beyond those thoughts, and that's fine. And also sometimes I invite people just to drop in the invitation again. What does this whole thing feel like in my body? And see what comes. So just take another minute. And bring that to a close. If your eyes have been closed, open them and look around, or either way, look around, just bring a little movement in your body if it's been still. And I want to say it's okay if that was hard, or you didn't know what to notice, or like, there's no right thing to happen. It's just an exploration. I want to give a bit of time to just inviting, what did you notice? Maybe you noticed something stir inside in relation to the situation that you thought about, or something else happened that surprised you. So I'd love to hear any experiences. You could put them in a chat, or feel free to unmute yourself. I'll share one thing I noticed. I thought of someone who I'm having a bit of difficulty with, and I had this feeling in my body of just like, you know, like when you're scrambling away from something, as if it was a I don't know, to get away. There's a feeling in my body, but I want to get away from them. It's quite visceral and powerful. So yeah, it was okay to have that. Yeah, but the feeling in the body was very particular. And you know, you could have call that aversion, but the image that came and sense in the body was very particular and unique. So it was interesting to see that things kind of evolved and changed over time. Yeah, that's exactly. When we pay attention to the body, it's not just a static process, it's a living process. And especially when we pay attention, something happens. Sometimes things move or to get more intense. You know, what was a little discomfort becomes a big discomfort. It's like, you're paying attention. Finally, I can start showing myself. Or it could ease and just like, whew. Yeah. Yeah, at one point I felt the urge to cry and the end of kind of butterflies. And yeah, definitely. It's a great example, isn't it, of bodily knowing. Butterflies in the stomach, you know, like we talk about this, don't we, when we're nervous. Oh, I've got butterflies, you know. That's, our body knows something's about to happen and it tells us, yeah. Oh yeah, someone said, felt the same thing, need to move away from a situation, yeah. Right, even becomes hard to sit still, actually in the body, yeah, definitely. You know, one of the knowings that the body has is very animal sort of level of experiencing, like, that's kind of instinctive, and especially when we were working with sort of, yeah, experience of overwhelm or trauma or kind of more emotional, like that kind of visceral knowing is very much part of what we're experiencing. Feeling the abdomen, it's like, yeah, kind of felt slightly nauseous, yeah, definitely. So every situation is this, well, I'd say, but yeah, every situation you can kind of turn to your body in this way and go, what does this feel like? And some information can come to you, whether it's like, I don't like this situation, or the situation feels icky in some sort of way, or what feels good, you know. Let's read some of the comments. I was in a place I liked and stayed in one place, calm and free. Yeah, great. The felt sense of a place is very strong. I remember one of my friends said, and she said, every time I cross the border into Scotland, some part of me feels at home, some part of me relaxes. She was from Scotland, her family. So like, it's like, wow, it's very like, as soon as she crossed into the land that was where her family or something relaxed, the place has a very strong effect on. Yeah. I was in a stream in a woods. I loved to go to. I felt a pleasant, restful heaviness in the legs, a bright, energizing, uplifting feeling in the chest and upper shoulders, like it was bursting out. Yeah, interesting to have between different halves of the body. Great. So yeah, this image of the iceberg comes to mind again, and this different kind of knowing that the body has. Let's say the body, but when I use the word body, I mean just more than just the thinking mind, which is, you could say, our right brain and nervous system, and a kind of more than just this prefrontal cortex thinking mind. It's all about knowing. And if that exercise was hard for you to notice anything below thoughts, that's all right. Sometimes it takes a while to really tune in to kind of what is that, and we're not even taught to do it. You know, most of us are taught out of this for our whole life. We live in a culture that's very dominated by thinking and rationality and left brain, you could say, kind of linear way of thinking, very quick, fast processing. So much is coming at us. So accessing this slower kind of way is hard sometimes. It takes time to practice, and it takes time to get used to and feel comfortable in. So that's really okay if that happened, if that was hard for you. Okay. I'm aware of those questions unanswered, and I'll come to those in a minute. I want to just talk about a few examples of what the body does know. So what, in other words, you could say, what does this practice, what does focusing as a practice open you to? What are you? Just some examples. I mean, there's lots I could say about this. knowing lies down there. I said one, and I just scribbled down four different kinds of knowing. One is around direction, like what direction would feel right for you in your life. I'm sure you've all had this experience when you've looking for somewhere to live. We're renting or buying, whatever it might be, and you walk down the street to a place, and even before you get there, you get this kind of feeling of, oh no, this isn't it. This isn't where I want to be. Or you get there like, oh yeah, like there's a kind of yes. And like, that's not a cognitive process at all. It's just a felt experience in the body. So kind of that's an example every day. Well, so not every day, but a life example of this sort of direction. Like our body has a sense of knowing. It's always knowing down here. Has a sense of what would feel right for us as a whole. It leans towards healing, you could say, and wholeness. It's like a kind of, it has a direction towards it. It's very interesting, like a compass. You can see almost like a compass we have inside of us that can help us choose what would feel good and opening and alive, and what feels closing and difficult. Right? So we can use this knowledge to navigate our life. That's definitely the way I experience it. So let's call that direction. The body knows a sense of the direction of what would feel right. Similarly, another example could be knows what's missing. It knows what's needed. It knows what's missing in our life. Again, in a very intuitive sort of way. I have a dog, and anyone else who has a dog will know what this is like. When one of the family leaves, you know, even if it's just good to go to a shop or something, or just even just go to the car, you know, she's up, you know, like knowing what's going, someone going, there's someone. Very, very instinctive. Sounds like intuition. It does, yeah. Like she knows in her body when someone's missing. And so we have that kind of knowledge as well, but not just about people, but about, you know, whole kinds of situations. What's really needed for this, your organism, to feel good and to feel really alive? It knows that. It also knows what's difficult, or what's, or even within that difficulty is a sense of what would feel good. Even that. We have a lot of knowing about safety and what doesn't feel safe. That's a lot of that is very embodied. It's not a thinking thing at all. We know it at a deeper level. You could say the body knows the true story of what happened to us. You know, very often we have an idea of what we feel, but when we step into the realm of the body, a whole different story comes forward. Just trying to think of an example, but one doesn't come right now. But it's almost like we can have all sorts of ideas of about what we're feeling, what we should feel, but actually, like it knows the truth. That's the only way I can put it. Really, it knows some kind of truth of what you've been through, of what needs resolving, of what would feel good for you. So yeah, there's this, I guess some people are talking about it, sounds like intuition, but focusing might help us to follow your intuition. Exactly. Yeah, very often we ignore this, you know, we ignore this level of experiencing because it's quieter, because it takes time to sense it, because we live in a world dominated by a very fast process. But it hasn't always been like that in human history, you know, just a very recent experience. It helps us to follow that knowing, exactly. So yeah, let's have a bit of time for questions. Let's just address ones that came earlier. So someone asked, is it recommended that focusing be practiced in conjunction with personal therapy? No, not necessarily. I mean, focusing isn't a therapy, it is therapeutic, you know, and maybe in the same way that mindfulness, because it occupies a similar realm, and I'll come to the difference in a minute, but it's like a life skill. Like you can apply, you can practice it, and you'll hear more about that later in a minute. It's a practice and a way of being that you can have in your life, and you don't have to have it. It's not necessarily something that you would have in conjunction with therapy or even merge with it. There are focusing oriented therapists around that use this. For me, actually, my personal story is that after a couple of years of counseling, I discovered focusing, and then I'm like, oh, I don't need counseling anymore. Like I discovered, oh, I can listen to myself, and I've got this paired practice I can do with someone else, and they can listen to me, and mean, it wasn't as straightforward as that. Like, I've had a few bouts of therapy since, but mostly, you know, focusing does a lot for me. It gives me a lot of what can come from those situations because I'm being really listened to and I'm really listening to myself. So yeah, it might work together, but it's not something that has to be together like that. But definitely therapeutic. And how is focusing different from mindfulness? Well, the way I understand mindfulness, no, I'm not a mindfulness teacher, although I taught meditation for many years. Mindfulness is a much more developed sort of practice these days. But a very simplistic understanding of it could be, well, mindfulness really, yeah, it does teach us to be in the present moment, to notice what's going on, thoughts, feelings, sensations. And just, yeah, in a way, just notice that in a kindly way. As if they're like people walking down the street, you know, okay, so there's this and there's that and there's... Focusing invites us to have a conversation with that, with those people. Like, we'll sit down and, you know, we'll listen to, all right, there's a feeling in my body and I'm not just going to notice a sensation. I'm going to say, wow, you know, hi, what are you about? Tell me more about what you're experiencing. You know, we get into a kind of conversation with those parts of us. Mindfulness is a bit more just about noticing it. I mean, that's a little bit black and white, a bit simplistic, but so that's one difference. I think it kind of opens up to slightly different dimensions because of that dialogue, that conversation. And you'll hear in a minute, the other way it's different is how we practice it. Mindfulness is just something, generally speaking, you do internally on your own. Even if you're in a group, you do it on your own, but focusing is a bit different. But yeah, any other questions about what I've said around this deeper knowing, or what the body knows? Any curiosities around any of that? Okay, and there's a chat here. How regularly do people practice focusing? Yeah, it's... Well, maybe I guess it could segue into the next piece. I guess there's something about what focusing is that might help us answer some of these questions. I'll come to the history of focusing in a minute. But yeah, in terms of its forms, like what is it as a practice? Well, you know, you could say it's just a way of living. For me, it's just a way of living. A way of being aware of my body that I kind of refer to a lot of the time. I'm checking into myself. It's become really just like second nature. Just this kind of, oh, what's happening? I'm checking and noticing and being like, it's not like, oh, something I have to do formally. Well, not have to do, it's something I don't always do formally, let's say that. But there is this formal way of practicing it where you could do it on your own, you know, where you can guide yourself through a process. And you can learn about that online, and there's resources about it. There's articles about it. Solo focusing, you call it. And you're kind of talking yourself through a process, like you're guiding yourself through meditation. But you also can do it in a paired practice. And that's a really lovely way of doing it. So you're like a peer relationship, you and someone else taking turns. One person describing what they're noticing. So they take an example of an argument they've had. Oh yeah, I'm really bothered by this. Oh yeah, I've noticed this funny feeling in my body. My chest feels tight. It's like, what's that tightness? And the other person is just listening to them with, you know, just simple reflective, empathic reflections. Not trying to make it better. Not trying to fix it. Not trying to give advice. Very kindly keeping your company. And then you swap and do it the other way around. So you become companions, focusing companions. It's a lovely practice to do in pairs. So, you know, with the solo and with that, you know, that's something you could do a few times a week. You could do it every day. You could do it. There's no prescriptive process, really. It's just whatever feels right. So, yeah, so the broadest answer is it's a way of living. And then there's this way of practicing it more formally. And then, of course, it gets mixed in with other practices, body work, writing workshops, and creativity and counseling. And, you know, so it kind of crops up in all sorts of other places as well. You know, anytime anyone asks you, what do you feel in your body, is a little bit of focusing. What does that feel like in your body? Another question here. Can children practice focusing? Yeah, I mean, I think in a way children are more in tune with that sense than adults often are, depending on the child. But it's not really even practicing it. We're just living their experience much more fully. It's just they're open to that. they're not so closed off from that bodily experiencing. So yeah, in terms of formally doing it, you know, you have to, there is a whole approach around sharing this with children, but it's very indirect, it's very non-cognitive, it's around bringing images, and it's a really fascinating way of doing it. So yeah, you can apply in that realm. With my son, sometimes I might just say, oh, what do you notice? He might be nervous about something, or he's, what's that feel like in your body? And he'll kind of, he might be going, oh, yeah, I feel it. I feel a bit funny in my belly, like tight. And I go, okay, there we go. You notice that. So I don't tell him to do anything with it. I just, you know, little invitation there, and it works. So another question here. Is focusing like a story we write about our feelings, our reactions? Interesting. Focusing's like, I wouldn't say it's a story we write. It's more like the story that the body has of what's. Our body, our being has a kind of deeper, truer story of what's. Yeah, what it holds. You know, there's this, that book by Bessel van der Kolk, some of you might have come across it on trauma. The body keeps the score. The name just went there. The body keeps the score. So, and that's a great way of describing a kind of bodily knowing. It keeps the score. It knows what happened to you. Even if on your mind you're like, oh, everything's fine, I'm okay, I'm okay. But underneath you're like, no, that wasn't okay at all. Your body knows those stories intimately. So yeah, it's not. So I'm not sure I quite answer your questions, but it's like there is a story. There is an untold story in the body, and that's one of the things we open to in focusing. Yeah. Is it our subconscious mind? Yeah, you could. Like that quote says, your body knows the whole of each of your situations, vastly more aspects of it than you can think. So that's. We've got what we can think about, and then we've got all this other knowing. That's kind of what I've been saying, really. So yeah, we could call that subconscious or unconscious, or sometimes those bring up those things up, those terms bring other associations and meanings with it. That's why I don't use them so much. But yeah, we're opening to that deeper knowing that's below the conscious or just at the boundary. All right, well, we're out of time. So yeah, I talked about forms, applications of focusing. So focusing can be just pure focusing, like it's paired way, or it could be applied in all sorts of situations, applied in therapy, applied in decision making, in coaching. It could be creativity, right? I got some people who trained in me who are writers, and they love bringing it into people's creative writing, you know, because it's a natural human skill. I believe it can easily weave into many things, you know. So it has many applications, but typically you'll find it in a sort of more therapeutic kind of self-development world, but that's not the only world that people do it in. So here's a teeny bit of history. So focusing developed as a practice from some studies done, you know, really over probably a period of a decade, really. Carl Rogers and Eugene Gendlin worked together, based really primarily on someone's looking back in, on or based somewhat on Gendlin's philosophy, really. He was interested in how people know things. So there, they explored therapy and like what difference it made to people or didn't, and what they researched, like how come some people make a progress in therapy and some people don't. And what they found wasn't so much about the therapist or the kind of therapy. It was the most important factor, aside from empathic company, so important, was that the person's experiencing of themselves. Did they speak? They literally noticed it in how they spoke. They could hear it in the first recording of a session. You could hear it in 20 minutes, listening to someone speak about their life. And the people who made progress were the people who paused and checked as they were speaking. So they'd be, instead of going, oh, well, it's all about my brother. You know, he's that kind of person where he's been so mean to me all my life. And, you know, we've always had this bad relationship. And that's because of, you know, what happened to him. And like talking. Those people made less progress. People who made more progress would be ones who went, yeah, you know, I feel kind of upset about that. And is it upset? I don't know. And then pause. And, oh, yeah, and more like betrayed. Yeah, I feel betrayed. So they kind of went somewhere had found something really interesting just in how they're speaking. So from that noticing, focusing was kind of born, if you like. How can we teach this to people? Is what they, because some people get it naturally, they just do it. You know, you ask them to notice what they're experiencing about something and it comes. Some people, it takes a little bit of teaching and guiding, and that's where focusing was born. And Jen Lynn had this vision, really, of everyone knowing focusing. It's great. Making therapy free, is what he called it. So, Feelings, funny word, isn't it, feelings? I'm just responding to one of the questions. Feelings is one of those, what does that even mean? I guess in focusing, we could say we're looking to acknowledge everything, thoughts, feelings, body sensations. But what we're really opening to is what generally called a felt sense, which is how our body feels the whole situation. So yeah, like that example, you might feel like, oh, I'm angry with a person. That's the feeling. But when you sense it beneath, like, oh yeah, like I feel betrayed, like I've been let down or something. Like there's a whole big real meaning underneath the top level of what we call angry, to this much bigger sense of what the situation is. So that's why the word feeling doesn't quite match it, and why he came up with this term, felt sense, because there's a kind of unique thing we're paying attention to. So anyway, that was a bit of the history of focusing and how it came to be born. So yeah, out of that practice, you know, that's why I'm here. I learned that practice back in 2003 on a workshop and read a book about it. Anyone can learn it. So any questions before I just do the last piece? I want to say two things by way of ending, which would be, you know, if we find ourselves stuck in our head, to use that expression, you know, to even be curious about that. Like, what is that? What's that like? And don't give yourself a hard time about it. Like, that's just part of our human condition right now, especially more in this time, you know, it might be the place we need to be. And we can be curious about the rest of our experience. What do I notice in my body? Just have that as a little invitation. When we're in those places, what do I notice in my body as well? And see if anything else comes. So you can learn more about this practice. I'll just say about the course I've got coming up in, how long would it be? 3 weeks, I think. 18th of April. I have a 5-week introductory course where you get to learn this practice, and particularly this paired form of practice, how to focus in yourself, how to listen to someone else focusing. So you can, at the end of those 5 weeks, you can take away that skill and apply it. You know, find a focusing partner, and you've got a very valuable skill that you have in your life. Like, I've got 4 different focusing partners, twice a week with some 2 people, and then once a month for others. And it's such a resource, you know, I can't overstate how important it is. It keeps me sane, it allows me to peel things and move on and make good decisions, and such a rich thing in my life. So that course will teach you the beginning of that journey. There are further courses if you want to do that, but just that 5-week module is available to you. I also have a little free audio course if you want more guided exercises to do. That's called The Path of Curiosity. You can sign up on my website. And I'll be emailing you out this information anyway. Probably tomorrow you'll get an email with just some links and contacts. And this recording will be available as well. So thanks very much for joining me tonight. Been good to share some of your questions and hear a bit about your perspective on this topic. And yeah, any questions, get back to me. I think you can just reply to any of the messages you get from me. And maybe see you at another point. Okay, bye for now.